We're now joined on the line by the Sinn Féin TD for Sligo Leitrim and the party's justice spokesman, Martin Kenny. Martin, good afternoon and thanks very much for taking our call. Before we talk about the comments of Drew Harris in the last couple of days around the ongoing status of the IRA, which of course we do want to get your thoughts on, just the news yesterday that Sinn Féin is going to be holding a series of public rallies about the need to have a change of government for Sinn Féin to be part of that government. Can you explain to us exactly what the purpose as you see them would be of those rallies?
Well, first of all, I think people voted in their masses in the last election to remove Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael from office. They lost most seats. They lost huge numbers of seats, both Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, who supported them throughout this last 4 years in government. Those seats, by and large, went to the left. Sinn Féin increased their seats. The Green Party quadrupled their seats. The Sock Dems trebled their seats. So there was a very clear trend there, and it was a trend that we've seen in the opinion polls coming up to the election as well, where people were moving away from what was considered the establishment parties for the last 100 years, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, and saying, we want a different kind of government. And that's what one would expect to see coming out of the Dáil then, would be a government which would at least acknowledge that, and would at least in some way show that the establishment was listening to that.
However, given that it's up to the Dáil to elect that government, then what is the purpose of going back to the public and rallying them?
Well, it's about going back to the public and saying to them, you know, people, we really want to make sure that we can deliver this. We want to work with everyone to do that. We want to put pressure on all aspects of public life in Ireland to deliver that, to ensure that we can actually have a government that is different to what we've had in the past, which has new priorities, which prioritises communities and working people and those out there who are struggling and who are finding it very, very hard to manage. I live here in the Northwest and we have huge problems here where we haven't got any jobs for graduates, where we haven't got the kind of infrastructure investment that we need for to develop and grow. And we need to have a government which will be committed to doing those things.
But all of that being the case though, Martin, and I accept all of that, but then what is the point or what is the purpose of going back and having public rallies when the public has just had its say on who the government should be and now it's up to the Dáil to act?
Of course it's up to the Dáil to act. And the reality is Sinn Féin has a long tradition of communicating closely with our grassroots and with communities out there. And that's what we're attempting to do, to ensure that we bring everybody with us, that we're on board, that the avalanche of propaganda that we've seen in the past number of days and number of weeks against Sinn Féin, which is finding every excuse to use the path as a block to try and ensure that we don't be part of creating a better future, is something that we want to guard against and to work against and to actually communicate with people directly that we are serious about creating a better Ireland and we are genuine in what we want to do.
So if your party has...
communicate directly with people around that.
If that is a history that your party has, then would you say that actually this is just par for the course, that actually there's nothing unusual about these public events you're going to be holding?
Not particularly, no. There's nothing particularly unusual about them. We've had, on numerous occasions, we do have public events where we communicate with the public, where we have public meetings, where we talk to people about what's going on, where people who vote for us and people who don't vote for us can often come to these meetings and discuss issues. We had a whole series of public meetings around the country around the issue of insurance, for instance. We've had them around other issues as well. So it's not something new that we do. It may be, I suppose, somewhat unusual that the issue on this occasion is about the formation of government.
You mentioned the propaganda that you believe has been revived against your party in the last couple of days. Do you believe that the comments of Drew Harris on Friday are part of that propaganda?
Well, I listened carefully to Drew Harris. I went back and I listened to him again. And what he actually said was, because he was very careful in the words he used, he said that he agreed with the analysis of the report. And when you actually look at what the analysis of the report he was referring to back in 2015, the report said that they acknowledged that there was a number of unidentified former IRA people who believed that the IRA's Army Council had some influence or oversight on both the IRA and Sinn Féin. Now, it was a kind of a mixed up analysis because, first of all, it didn't name who it was. There was no evidence for it. It was basically a reference to some hearsay. And to use that as if it's something solid without any reality is totally untrue and unbiased and baseless.
But that report in 2015, and it's right, and it did said that it was the view of IRA members that the Army Council still oversaw both the IRA and Sinn Féin with an overarching strategy. But then it said, we judged that strategy to have a wholly political focus, which most people would have inferred as being, you know, that this assessment was on board with that it agreed with the assessment of those IRA members.
But I'm not sure what you mean there, because it basically was saying something which was hearsay. Now, if we go back to many other reports, including back 10, 15 years ago, there was reports by the International Monitoring Commission that the IRA structures had totally been dissolved, had gone away, didn't work, and people who had been involved in combative activities in the past had moved to wholly political means, and that's what they were doing. And that's what the peace process and everything that was around that was about trying to do. I worked for many years with ex-prisoner projects and dealt with people who had been formerly in the IRA, people who had been, and organised meetings with people who had been former RUC members, people from the unionist community. And I am well aware of the huge investment that people from those communities put into building a peace process and moving our society forward. And sometimes it's frustrating to hear and to acknowledge the absence of respect for what happened then. We have created a peace process in Ireland, which the world looks at, for example. And I mean, over the past 20 years, particularly the 10 years, I think, from 1996 to 2006, the amount of work that was done there were to bring entire communities whose whole life was about resistance to a new place and to change that. And it was transformative. No. And many of the people who were at the cutting edge of that are the very people today who are being called shadowy figures.
That is all true. And I know that there are still some dissidents who have targeted own members of your own party, even in recent times as well. I heard Martina Anderson during the week. Weekend, and I don't think anyone doubts the work that has been made by many people from your party and indeed people who had previous associations with the IRA to bring them to peace. And it is worth stating, by the way, that that assessment in 2015 did also state that irrespective of whether the IRA still existed as an institution or not, that it was now wholly committed to peace. But can I go back, though, to my original question? Was, do you believe that the intervention of Drew Harris and the way in which Drew Harris's comments have been framed is propaganda?
I think it's been used by our political opponents as propaganda for to try and use the past, which was terrible. You know, it was a terrible society we lived in for decades in this country where we had conflict, to use the past as a barrier for a better future. And that's what has been attempted to be done. It's been done mainly by Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, who clearly want to continue the old arrangements that they've had for many years. And, you know, they were elected to do that, and that's fine. But the electorate has changed their mind. We now have a different set of circumstances in the country where people want to move into a different place, and they want a different type of government. And that's reflected in what we've seen. It's been reflected in mainly coming from young people, and mainly coming from people who have suffered and recognise that, you know, we have an opportunity here to do things differently. And they want Sinn Féin to be part of that, doing things differently. They also want the Green Party and the Soc Dems, and many other smaller parties have a role to play as well. And we'll continue to explore that with other parties, but we recognise the difficulty of the mathematics that we've before us when we go into Leinster House. Mm.
You mentioned the report of the Independent Monitoring Commission. Is this your interpretation that they believe that the IRA has disbanded all of its structures? Because there seems to be some ambiguity around the fact that they may have stood down their military structures, but that they may still exist in some other sort of dormant form.
Gavin, the IRA doesn't exist. It's gone. It doesn't exist in any form. You know, like, I live here in County Leitrim. I live 15 miles from the border. I live in a Republican community. I've dealt with people all my life, and I know the situation. It doesn't exist, and everybody who has any connection with that community and what happened in the past understands and knows that it is gone, it is over, the conflict is over. We're very glad it's over, and we're about building a better future. And a major part of ending that was about convincing people that there was another way of doing things, that we could actually achieve the goal of having a new, better Ireland, a united Ireland, a wholly peaceful means, and that's what we continue to work to do.
So in instances then, like the instance which I think was in 2013 when Gerry Adams accompanied Austin Stack to meet some figures who were associated with the IRA, were they just meeting him in a personal capacity and not in a corporate one, if you'll pardon the language?
I expect so.
So they weren't meeting him in their status as being part of the IRA?
I imagine they would have been meeting as part of people who would have been involved in issues in the past, but wouldn't have any formal structure at the moment, because the formal structures are all gone. We all know that.
So why do you believe then that the assessment of the PSNI and the independent assessors in 2015 was different?
I don't know. I think, as I said before, my understanding of it is it was based on a set of hearsay. And, you know, I'm also conscious through a lot of the work that I've done that there's all kinds of figures involved in these things, and there's people from who hold views who are anti-peace process and who have moved into a place where they want to try and jeopardise the huge work that has been done and try and put that at risk. There's also people there who would have worked for British intelligence and for other agencies in the past. You know, very shadowy figures, to be honest with you. And you know, we live in that world, and that world hopefully is getting further and further away from us. But there's still an element of that there. There's an element of MI5. There's an element of all of those people that are involved in these things. They don't want to let go of their role in all of this. They want to try and hold the line that, you know, British involvement in Irish affairs was something moral and proper. And from our point of view, it was not. And they want to try and maintain that. And they do that through a lot of these shadowy figures that they have that are feeding into all of this.
Is there not a final question for you, Martin? Is there not a certain amount of contradiction there in that you said that this PSNI assessment from 2015 wasn't itself repeating hearsay and presenting it as fact, and then you're now suggesting that there is hearsay and fact being presented on the other side too?
Hearsay and fact being presented on which side?
Sorry, that your suggestion is that the assessment is being based on hearsay, but you are now accusing the other side of presenting hearsay to present their case.
Yeah, well, I mean, as I said, it's all very strange that we have a situation where we have these various commissions coming back stating that, you know, they have heard different things on the grapevine, basically, is what they're saying. They're using that in these reports.
But clearly what they're saying is that IRA members or people who were at one time were members of an organisation that you say now does not exist still believe that it does.
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
Why would those people have that belief if you say that everyone in the border region knows it's not true?
I don't know why they have that belief. And I don't know if they really have that belief. That's the point I'm making. That perhaps they don't have that belief. Perhaps they're trying to mix it.
Okay.
It's not impossible either, you know, Gavin.
No, it's not. Okay, Martin, we'll leave it there. Thanks again very much for your time this lunchtime. Martin Kenny, Sinn Féin TD for Sligo Leitrim and the party spokesperson on justice. Thanks very much for joining us on The Record.